what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode number 403. And as always, we are brought to you by Amazon. So if you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, anything you buy there for a little while helps us out, gives us a little kickback, doesn't cost you anything extra, and helps us keep the podcast and site going. With us, as always, is the leader of this this whole thing. We got Bob over here. What's going on, Bob?
I'm under the weather.
Try not to die.
I have my tea. I'm 100% under the weather, which isn't great.
Is it hot tea?
It is hot tea. I feel like I have a sinus infection. Yeah. So
you need one of those mugs that like keeps it warm or keeps it hot.
Yeah.
Like an ember mug.
I mean, it's still pretty hot.
Okay. Yeah.
Not feeling too hot. Was about to cancel the podcast, but decided to keep on trucking. We can get through this, I feel. But yeah, it's never fun when you get sick, especially when you have a bunch of stuff to do.
Well, especially when it involves being on camera and talking.
Being on camera, talking. I was like, and it was so crazy. I was telling you this before we started. I was like, during the day, like in the middle of the day, I was like, oh, I'm getting over this, because I've had this for like a couple days now. I was like, I'm getting over it, and then it just, you know, right around
The evening. It always does that in the evening.
Yeah, it started coming back again. I'm like, I gotta do the podcast. Like, but we'll, like I said, we're gonna truck through it, and you know, hopefully I don't sound like I'm dying or I have smoker's lung, one of the two.
Nope, you're good.
You know, so, but yeah, lots going on this week. Lots to talk about, some cool reviews, some new products, and yeah, just some really cool stuff. So we'll start out this week with a keyboard. We actually took a look at two keyboards. The first one I have right here, super small. This is the Logitech G. This is their Pro X60 Lightspeed 60% keyboard. So this is the first Logitech G Pro 60% keyboard. And if you guys aren't familiar with like the Logitech G brand, that is their gaming brand. That's where you're going to find all their gaming related products. These products are specifically made for gamers. And then the Pro line is for esports pros or aspiring esports pros. Everything on these keyboards is really designed for the pro. So that kind of gives you a little context about what we're going to be talking about. Now, the cool thing about this keyboard right off the bat, and I'll show it to you real quick, is that it comes with this awesome carrying case. It's like a hard shell case too. So if you're taking this to, you know, to tournaments, to your friend's house, you have a really cool carrying case there, which is great. Detachable, you know, Lightspeed 2.4 gigahertz adapter, and it does have the actual dongle adapter, so you put the actual dongle closest to your keyboard and further away from your USB port, because we talked about this before, but if you don't know, on USB 3.0 ports, there is a bunch of noise at the connector that could just interfere with the wireless connectivity, so this allows you to do that. So you have that there. As you can see with the keyboard itself, we received the magenta version. It's also available in both white and black as well. The magenta is like, they've done these really well, down to even the metal top plate is also magenta, which is really cool. But you know, on the white version, it's going to be white. On the black version, it's going to be black. It is worth noting that we were sent, for some reason, the international version of the keyboard.
I was wondering.
So it has an enlarged enter button on the American version. It's your normal size and more stretched out. And then it has the Euro symbol right here for some reason. You know, but that's like the main difference. And again, 60% keyboard. So you lose your arrow keys, you lose your function row. And of course, you don't have any number pad. So really bringing the size down. And I think 60% is popular with a lot of people, because there are people who use really low DPIs and they want a lot more room on their gaming surface to move that mouse around, especially like first person shooter gamers and stuff like that. So here's what the American version will look like. So you can see the difference with the enter button there. But yeah, that's the main difference. And of course, that's the black version. This is, like I said, it does have the metal top plate. We have double shot PBT keycaps. We have optical switches. So if you're not familiar with optical switches, they're designed very much like a mechanical switch, But essentially, there's a laser that's like this, and then when the key press goes down, it you know, registers that instead of the actual mechanical action of that. These are more accurate because of that, and they don't have a debounce delay. So your delay to the next press, you don't have the delay like you would get on a mechanical switch. That's kind of like the big thing here with this keyboard. And you can see those switches in there. Now, Logitech has said that it's kind of unclear, but they said that the switches can be removed, but they're not advertising it as a hot swappable keyboard. And I believe, again, it wasn't made clear that you'll void your warranty if you do take the switches out. So no hot swap capability here. And when you're a esports or aspiring esports player, you don't want extra things on the keyboard to annoy you. Lights, buttons, things like that. So they've actually put a volume slider or, you know, little volume wheel on the side of the keyboard, really easy to access, which is great. And then, and this little LED is your caps lock LED. So it's off of the side of the keyboard. So you know, it's not annoying you while you're trying to game, which is nice. On the opposite side, this is actually, you know, like a switch that would be like a light switch. It's kind of hard to press down.
Okay.
This is that same type of switch. This enables and disables game mode. And the reason they made it a little harder to press, so you don't accidentally press it, right? So maybe you have game mode enabled, which essentially you can select, which we will go into the software. It's going to disable your Windows key and things like that. So if you are in a tournament, you don't want to accidentally, you know, tab out of your game. So they have it so it's a little harder to press. So if you do have game mode enabled, you don't accidentally bump the keyboard and, you know, take it off of game mode, and then you're hitting the Windows key and you're tabbing out during a tournament, which wouldn't be great. So you have all that there. On the top edge of the keyboard, you have your Type-C connectivity. This is a little power button. And then you have your two connectivity buttons. So this is a light speed keyboard. So you have 2.4 gigahertz wireless connectivity, but you can also connect via Bluetooth. And again, the LEDs are not, you know, front, like they're back facing. So they're not going to annoy you or anything like that, which is really nice there. And you did see, like, you know, you can, by default, the keyboard sits at a slight angle. You can increase that angle if you want to. Pretty easy to go ahead and do that as well. Now, the big thing when it comes to moving down to a smaller keyboard like this is that you're losing a lot of functionality, especially if you're coming from a full-size keyboard, but even something like a TKL or even a 65%, because the 65% still does give you arrow keys and things like that. Or you have a 75%. So again, like, you know, there's not a lot of keys, especially if you're, you know, doing a lot of different actions. So what they've actually done in their software is created what they call key control. And it's pretty interesting. So each key on the keyboard can be remapped to 5 different actions. And those actions can be enabled with different modifiers and event types. So when it comes to like event types, it would be like a standard key press. One would be a like holding, like, you know, holding the button down. One would be releasing, you know, and things like that. And you could do like quick press, and you can kind of really, really dive deep in what different functions you can have. And then you have modifiers. So you can set your different modifiers to like control or alt. So if you hit control, then the key, it's obviously something different. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then these remaps are over 3 different layers. So you have a normal layer, then you have the function layer, which is when you hit the function key. And then you have a G shift layer, which is throughout Logitech products. It's like, you know, if you have a Logitech mouse, you can set the G shift button to one of the mouses on the, to one of the buttons on the mouse. And then every one of your actions is remapped on the keyboard as well. Right. So with that, you essentially get 15 actions per key on this keyboard. And this software is one of the best that I've seen. Because we have seen software that give you some of the same functionality, but it's one of the things when it comes to keyboard software, especially if you're dealing with like brands that aren't as well known, their software is really just not great.
Yeah.
So you can really dive down deep and really fully reprogram this keyboard, which I like. On top of that, Logitech does have, within the software, has a full section of remaps that you can download. They have, it's going to go ahead and detect all your games as well and your applications and have presets for those. But again, you can go online and download those as well. And you can create your own and share those with the community as well. And I've always loved this. I think Corsair was one of the first to do that with the lighting on their keyboard. You could share your lighting settings.
Yep.
Logitech is doing the same thing, but it's with remaps and lighting and a bunch of other stuff that you can do. So it's really, really cool. Really easy to use this keyboard. When it comes to lighting, you have full per key RGB backlighting. Another thing that's great about this too is that when you get a new RGB keyboard and you turn it on, what's the first effect that always comes up?
Rainbow.
Yeah. And most people, that's the first thing they change. Yeah. So this one actually goes to like a teal blue by default.
Oh, it's really good with the pink.
Yeah. So magenta. Standard, just single color, which I think a lot of people like. So that was another change that they made on this keyboard. And I really do like this keyboard. It felt really good. We have our sound test in there. The RGB lighting looks good. You know, you can kind of see what it looks like here. It does look really good. The thing that I think a lot of people are saying, and I do agree, is that this keyboard is decently expensive. Remember, it's a 60% keyboard, but it's $189 or $179.99.
Yeah, that feels high for less, right? Like less functionality.
Now the Razer Huntsman V3 Pro Mini, that's their newest one, is the same price.
Okay.
The SteelSeries Apex Pro Mini Wireless, which again is 60%, is $10 more. But the argument that people are making, and it's a very valid argument, is that the SteelSeries keyboard has the magnetic key switches.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really fine tune, you know, how far down the actuation is, and you can really, we actually reviewed that keyboard. You know, you can do a lot more with those type of switches. And I think that's what I, from what it seems like on Twitter, a lot of people were expecting that's what this keyboard would do, right? Gotcha. Because it is made for esports pros, and especially like a lot of super fast FPS gamers want those magnetic hall type of switches, and you don't get that here. You do get the you do get the optical switches, which are nice. But I think, you know, the latest and greatest is the magnetic switches, and you just don't get those here. but you know, you do get the carrying case, which is actually really, really nice. So I do like the addition of that. Everything works seamlessly as far as the software goes, setting everything up, easy to connect both 2.4 gigahertz. You can use it wired as well. And of course, you can use it via Bluetooth. I gave it a 9 out of 10, but it is expensive for like the average gamer. Paying $179 for a 60% keyboard is a lot. And I do have to say, too, just like we reviewed the Corsair keyboard, these gaming keyboards, they don't have necessarily the best sound when it comes to
the sound of like a true custom board, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. And you don't have, I mean, you do have some sound dampening and stuff, but it's just not to the level of some of the other keyboards that we've taken a look at. And again, those keyboards aren't designed as gaming keyboards. They're designed as more mechanical keyboards. So it's a give and take, you know, but I think it's a really good product, and it's good to see them come down to 60%. It was my first time using their new software, and I really liked it. So just take it at that. I think if you are an aspiring gamer or aspiring like pro gamer, you're playing with a team and you want something that's going to perform really well, this is going to be a keyboard that does that. Yeah. You're just going to pay for it. And again, if you were looking for something that gave you even more flexibility, like the magnetic switches, the Apex Pro Mini Wireless from SteelSeries would give you that. So in that form factor.
Sure. It's nice seeing a Logitech product come through. We haven't seen one in a while, I feel like.
Yeah, it's been a while. So they reached out last minute, and we decided to take a look. And it's good to see what they're doing. So
yeah,
So yeah, so definitely go ahead and check out that review. We're going to go ahead and switch things up before we take a look at the second keyboard and take a look at this little guy. This guy is super, super small. Tiny. Yeah, so this right here is the Patriot Viper Gaming VP4000 Mini. It's a Gen 4 NVMe SSD. Excuse me. And it's primarily designed for upgrading your Steam Deck, your ROG Ally, all these mobile gaming consoles that are coming out. This is going to be your upgrade path if you get, you know, if you want to add more storage or even get better performance, because this is going to give you better performance than the drive that's, say, like in the ROG Ally. And it's available in 2 terabytes. So most of these mobile gaming consoles, the highest end spec that you can get is 1 terabyte. This will give you double that, so you get double the storage as well. So it's an M.2 2230, which is the smallest, as you can see. I mean, this thing is just absolutely tiny. And again, it's not the fastest drive either. It's not, you know, it's not really, when it comes to Gen 4 speeds, it's not crazy, crazy fast, but it's going to be faster than the drives that are in a lot of these mobile gaming consoles. I think it's 5,000 megabytes a second read and 3,500 megabytes a second write. And in our testing, it performs right up to that. I just think this is a nice little upgrade, especially if you're loading a ton of games on your Steam Deck, your ROG Ally. I tested this just in a normal PC. You can use this in a normal PC as well. But it's just crazy. I mean,
yeah, as long as you've got the mounting so spot, small. Right? For a 30. Yeah, it is so tiny. It's like a little bigger than a quarter. Right.
Yeah. It's super, super small. I mean, it's incredibly tiny. So it's a cool little drive. I really liked it. You know, I gave it a 9 out of 10. The 2 terabyte is $179.99, while the 1 terabyte is $84.99. Just a nice little upgrade, you know, and it's good to see Patriot come out with something like this. Because again, I think maybe you don't buy the most high-end ROG Ally. You buy the one that's 512 gig. You know, you load certain games on there, that thing's going to fill up, right? And then you can upgrade to this where you get more than double the space and you get faster performance as well, which is really nice. So yeah, cool little drive. So definitely check out the review. And if you do have a mobile gaming console, it's a nice little upgrade that you can kind of, you know, do right there, which is really nice. So. We'll move on from there to our final review this week. And this is a really interesting keyboard. It has some things. Oh, wait. I think I linked the wrong one. I did link the wrong one in the show notes, but we'll go to it. This is the EpoMaker RT100. And this is a mechanical keyboard. Our first keyboard from EpoMaker. And it's, like I said, it's pretty interesting. Very retro design keyboard. As you can see, it's a 97 key keyboard, gasket mount design, PBT keycaps. It has mechanical key switches, and it came with this like really nice cable too, this like thicker rubber cable. Yeah. And it's one of the ones where the actual connector has a little LED on it that lets you know that it's getting power, which is pretty cool too. So yeah, really cool there. Like I said, if you look at the design itself, I mean, you could call it a Noctua keyboard, almost. Not as dark.
I think that's what I said last week. Yeah, it was almost that color scheme.
Yeah, so with the 97-key layout, full complement of keys, all your arrow keys, your number pad here as well. And we do get a little volume multimedia knob here. I do feel that that's incredibly out of place. It just doesn't look right on this style of keyboard. It kind of just looks weird. You know, it just... I don't know.
I think like a roller would have looked cool, like next to it, right? Like a,
yeah. Yeah, something, I just feel like something it looks, yeah, it looks a little out of place, but like I said, the PBT keycaps, they feel really good as well. And they have the kind of like the oversized legends. These are not see-through legends, which you'll see. And then we have Sea Salt Silent Switches from EpoMaker. And you have to listen to the sound test in the actual review, but these are incredibly silent. Probably one of the most silent keyboards that I've used when it comes to like a mechanical keyboard. They feel really good as well. And with this one, they are completely hot swappable. You can go ahead and swap these out, no problem. If you want to, you know, change them out later. And EPO Maker does offer this keyboard in a bunch of different switch types. This is just the switch type that they sent us. Of course, you know, you have three different levels of adjustment here when it comes to the angle of the keyboard, as you can see. Very easy to go ahead and do that. Just a simple type C on the top edge of the keyboard right there for connectivity. And then at the top corner, they hide the 2.4 gigahertz wireless dongle in there. So this is, again, same thing as the other keyboard. You can do 2.4 gigahertz. You can do Bluetooth as well. And of course, you can do wired. And then it comes with this little screen, this little removable screen, which kind of sits off the, you know, where that little, where the dongle was, this goes in. It's a little type C connector that goes right in there. And that's kind of what it looks like. And then we'll show you, you know, what it actually comes out to. So as you can see with the RGB lighting, you're not going to get much shine through because, again, yep, no shine through legends or anything like that. but the screen is pretty cool. So the screen will show you your time, your dates, how charged the keyboard is, what type of connectivity, and the temperature where you're located. So you put in like your city and it will show you that. Now, for the CPU usage, I couldn't get it to work. I don't know if it's because I'm on an AMD system or what, but I could not get the CPU usage to work. But you can also load your own picture here as well. So like there's like Think Computers logo. You can do animated GIFs on there. And then as you can, like as you're doing your connection, whether it's Bluetooth or the wireless, it will show you on the screen, which is kind of cool too. It's much easier than trying to figure out, okay, this LED is blinking. What does that mean? Like it shows you on the screen, which is pretty cool there as well. So, yeah, pretty cool little screen. It's a nice little addition. The software is pretty archaic, I'd say. It gets the job done.
Rough. Yeah.
It allows you to remap things and stuff like that. And with the little screen, you can download animations right from the software. And GIFs and things like that, which is pretty cool. And again, here's that RGB lighting at nighttime, as you can see. But the best thing about this keyboard is how well it feels. It is so comfortable, incredibly silent, very, very comfortable. And for a keyboard that's only $115, I mean,
pretty nice. That's wild that it's that price. Comes with that nice cable, comes with the little screen add-on. Like that cable alone, like if you were to buy it, it's probably like a $30 cable, I would guess.
I mean, the cable's really nice. And you know, like the actual keyboard itself is mostly plastic, but it does have the gasket mount design, which adds to it feeling a lot more comfortable. Yep. And again, the switches are like I never used these switches before, and they are really, really comfortable. The keycaps are comfortable. I really like this keyboard. If it wasn't so big, I'd probably keep it. I'm probably going to swap back to another keyboard, but yeah, it's a really nice, really nicely. You would like this keyboard if I brought it to CES, so I wouldn't be clacking around.
Oh my gosh. Please.
So I gave it an 8 out of 10. The things that I didn't like about it, again, I couldn't get the CPU usage section on the screen to work. That multimedia knob looks a little bit out of place, and the software is, like I said, it's kind of archaic. Could use a little, you know. But again, when you're not as well-known brands, their software takes a little while to get semi-decent. Yep. So, but if you're looking just for a solid keyboard, and again, you don't even have to use the software if you don't want to. If you can just plug this in, it's going to work no problem. And again, it's very, very comfortable. So definitely go ahead and check that review out. From there, we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And we have a build this week that is just, it doesn't even look real. And the guy, the Modding Cafe, who actually did this build, they were getting comments that it's fake. It's like, it's AI. It's like not
really?
Real.
Wow.
Yeah. Why is this not loading for me? Let's see. All right. Well, for some reason.
I wonder if it's doing it to me too.
Well, we can.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, that's weird. Well, for some reason, you guys can see this. But this is from Modding Cafe. Actually, let me just bring up the Facebook post that has the images on here.
So if people just never seen custom builds like this before and they just thought it was fake, huh?
Apparently. Let's see if we can find. Okay, here we go. So this, let's bring this back up. This is the build here, and it's built after the Dire Tormentor from Dota 2. And that's what this is specifically built for to look like. And they've somehow suspended this cube in the air. It's just so crazy. We have the video in the article if you want to check out the video, because it shows how they built this. But again, it doesn't, yeah, I mean, it kind of doesn't look real. But it is real, obviously. I mean, you can see there's a system in there.
Yeah.
And this has that block that takes the, that doesn't have the tubing in the front. It's all in the back, which is super cool. And you can see they use those fans with the LCD screens as well.
Yes.
Here,
that's very cool.
Which is really cool. But just the craftsmanship in this and like, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to.
Yeah, you can see this.
Yeah, those fans are awesome.
Yeah, the fans with the screens in there. That's the temperature. Yeah, I mean, this thing is just one crazy build. But yeah, really cool. Like I said, we have the video in the, and you can see how the water cooling comes down and goes into.
Okay,
this.
So I could tell there's more like onto the back. They must have, yeah, they've got to like welded the chain links or something, right? Like pulled the chain tight and then welded it somehow so that that's how it's holding it up.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. That's, like I said, check really out the neat. Video in the article if you want to see how they built it, but you can see how that's how the back goes and all the cabling goes around. But it's a really, really crazy build. So definitely check that out in our Case Mod Friday section. Just a reminder here that we are still running our Corsair M75 wireless gaming mouse giveaway. It's super easy to enter. We do all of our contests via Gleam, so you can easily go ahead and enter this. There's 7 days left. It's a great gaming mouse too. It's a nice, it's a little bit heavier, which some people might prefer, you know. But yeah, really cool to, you know, just go ahead and check that out. So yeah, and we'll do another giveaway after this one as well. So we got more giveaways coming. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. We'll move on to news. And, you know, when we started hearing about the RTX 50 series, the 5090, people were saying, and even NVIDIA's roadmap said 2025, mm-hmm. right? We've been hearing rumblings that it could be fourth quarter of this year, which if you think about it, it would make sense just for the fact that, I mean, that's when the, you know, the 40 series launched.
Yeah. No, this would be exciting.
That's when everybody's buying because it's holiday season.
Yep. Get that Christmas money or, yeah, gifts for people. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on the 5090 or the 50 series? Do you think we will see it before the end of the year?
I don't know. I could see a, you know, we're getting news now, so it almost makes me feel like we could see these at CES instead. But okay. Especially since we just saw in January, you know, like the article mentions, the 40 series supers launch. That's not a very long time frame for them to be out. But then again, like, why not?
I could say if we see anything teased at Computex,
then you think for sure they'll be
yeah out. I mean, it just makes, like, for sales, it makes sense. That's when people are buying.
Yeah.
You know, it also comes down to, like, you know, availability. Like, do they have enough ready? Will they have enough ready in time too? You don't want to launch and have no product available either.
I mean, if you're ready to start making stuff at pretty close to Computex or afterwards, you'd be able to ramp up quite a bit of inventory, I would think. And then, like, you could take advantage of Black Friday, like offloading some of your 40 series cards, right? Like drop the price a little on those, get rid of that inventory in preparation of having a fresh batch of 50 series, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I think there's a good possibility that it will happen. Old man in the chat says, do you anticipate scalpers buying up all? I mean, you'll see some scalpers. You know, there's no EVGA, so you're not going to get that, you know, the protection really
nice program,
of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you could see it, especially with, like, you know, there's companies that just don't care. They'll just be like, oh, you want 100? Sure.
But it was, we didn't have the same things we had going on with the 30 series and pandemic and supply chain, right?
We
didn't see it as badly with the 40s. So hopefully that stays the same.
Yeah. So if there's not as much supply chain issues, you're always going to have scalpers for new products, right? But on the scale that it happened with the 40 series, unless something crazy happens, which obviously we don't want to happen, I don't see that happening. But I, like I said, I could easily see these come out November 28th. Write that down. I said it. November 28th.
Oh, you think so, huh?
Good. That's just my, like, if I was to guess of when these would come out, I would say November 28th. But
okay. You want to put some money on this or?
Not yet. There's not enough leaks yet.
Okay.
But I'm just saying if they were launching in Q4, that's when they would launch. I would assume. But let's see how this year goes, the rest of the year and Computex, and if we get more leaks talking about this, then I could see it becoming more of a reality, I would say.
Yeah.
You know. Rob in the chat says, I always anticipate people selling box only GPUs on eBay.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta read those full descriptions.
I remember people were selling a piece of paper that said like RTX 4090 on it. You know?
Terrible.
Yeah, it was a crazy
time. I had some iPad boxes that I was gonna sell on eBay, and then I was like, nah, I don't want to deal with the hassle. Like, I was obviously going to be very forward that, hey, these are only boxes. Because boxes do sell, like, for other products and for iPads as well. But I was like, I don't want to deal with the hassle of it.
Yeah, well, also on the GPU side, it looks like we will get, hopefully, new Intel Battle Mage. This is, like, their second gen of their graphics cards before Black Friday. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what Intel does on this next gen. They've had an entire generation of products out in the wild with a lot of, you know, people got their hands on these. So there's a lot of testing going around.
Cool. I'm excited for them. I think that, like, the first card they came out with was, like, I think you have to give them the chance to see where the first one lands and see how they react to that card and where they end up with their second card. Like, this one, I feel like, is the true card to show, like, all right, they're really in this, or no, they're just going to, you know, back out after this type of thing.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how high end they go to. They were pretty mid-range. Like, their highest end product was very much a mid-range to lower end product. So we'll see if we get something that's going to be competitive against a higher end AMD or NVIDIA product. This is the good time to release because you want it for the holiday season, right? Mm-hmm. especially if we don't get an NVIDIA launch during that time, you announce these new products that could be competitive at that time, affordable, people might, you know, and you'd probably see a lot of them in pre-builds as well. So, so yeah, that'll be interesting to see as, man, years going by quick already. you know, so we'll see how all of that goes. Acer released a new gaming ultra wide, which I want. This has all the specs that I want. So this is their Predator X49 X ultra wide. It is a 49 inch ultra wide OLED, 240 hertz.
I wish we would see these at CES. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Acer ever has a presence there. Or if they do, we don't meet with them.
Yeah, we don't see it. But this looks like a nice display.
Their Predator monitors always are.
Yeah. 1800 R curve. Yeah, like I said, I always talk about upgrading this 49 that I have, and I think that
a 240.
Yeah, check all the boxes.
Pretty sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, this is I don't know if they listed the price. No price.
Yeah, the Predator and the Acer monitor or Asus monitors were always like the top end when we really started getting high end monitors.
And this it has a built in KVM and supports dual 2K displays at the same time. Also has a Type C port that has 90 watts of output power, awesome. Which is really awesome there as well. So HDMI 2.1, DisplayPort 1.4. AMD FreeSync Premium. I mean, yeah, this is a really good looking display. So, yeah, I can only hope. I can only, you know, maybe I'll drop the money for a new monitor at some point this year. We'll see. We talked last week about that graphics card that a lot of people thought was a April Fool's from Gigabyte.
Mm-hmm.
That Aorus Extreme X Ice motherboard, and now apparently that was real.
Okay.
And apparently they're coming out with an Extreme X Ice motherboard, a Z790 motherboard that I guess has a gold
CPU socket. I think it looks sweet.
And it has this like weird design here, obviously the all white design. You know, this is limited edition. It's gold, little gold plaque here. It says crystallized titanium texture down here. I mean,
now was this a water block, like a monoblock build?
I have no clue.
Because that cover goes over your CPU. Where's your cooler going?
I think that's just, I don't know.
Maybe that just comes off. And yeah, like that, your memory has to sit under there as well.
It probably just comes off. It probably just comes off. Yeah. It's just for looks. But I do like this all white design. And I like I said, we've seen this Aorus board, the normal one that has the display here, looks awesome. But having it all in white would look great. No white PCB though. It's a little bit disappointing. But pretty cool look. It's always good to see new kind of lines come out from different brands, especially when it comes to motherboards. But this seems to be limited edition, obviously, with a little placard here. I don't know how many they're going to make.
So reminds me of when we first saw the NZXT motherboards, right? And it was like almost all covered except for the ports. Like we've moved to so many companies making boards like that where they're just covering everything up. And I wonder how much of that goes back to that first NZXT design.
I mean, probably. And again, we're going to all the connections on the back too. Yeah. I mean, even if you look at this, like there's no connections on the bottom. Like,
you have connections here. Edge,
but... Yeah. So pretty interesting design. We'll see. Like I said, when this is actually becomes official, if it does, we'll give you guys more information on that. But pretty interesting motherboard there. Razer, we saw this at CES. It was kind of under the radar, I feel, because a lot of people weren't talking about it.
This thing was awesome.
Razer Blade 18, so 18 inch full desktop replacement laptop. And the interesting thing about this when we saw it is that all the way back in January at CES, it had Thunderbolt 5.
Yeah, and he was running 4K, like 120 screens, if I remember
correctly. Off of one cable.
Off of one cable coming out. Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah, full desktop replacement. This is a really big, like I said. This is if you just don't want the desktop. I mean, this is a really, really big laptop. But yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome seeing that thing. I was surprised it didn't get more news. I know we wrote about it, but it's got a ton of awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
features.
The display on it's a 4K display on the actual laptop, 200 hertz as well. Thunderbolt 5, like we said, Intel Core i9 HX processors. Yeah, and it's really thin too. I mean, it's decently thin for a big 18-inch laptop as well. Up to RTX 4090 inside. Man, it's gonna be expensive. Starts at $3,100. So
yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, for what it can do, right?
Yeah,
and they must have finalized some of that Thunderbolt 5 connectivity and feature set, because I remember he was saying, like, if people unplugged it or moved it too much, he had to, like, restart the whole, like, setup in order to get it back up and going again. So hopefully they've made it through some of those challenges. I'm sure they have, and finalized some specs and everything.
It always is so interesting when we go to CES or other events where, like, you just see stuff that's just kind of just sitting there, like, completely under the radar. There was no big sign that said Thunderbolt 5. Yeah. There was not, like, the laptop was just there. And yeah,
but it was front and center, too. But
it was front and center.
People weren't like, it wasn't being advertised really.
Yeah, so pretty cool to see that from Razer. If you are looking for a desktop replacement, that's one you should definitely look at if you have the funds. Lenovo has confirmed that they're already in development of their next generation Legion Go. So Legion Go 2. And the Legion had just came out, but they're already working on the next one. These are, like I said, these are so popular, and Ryan and I always talk about how we would love to have one, but we probably never use it all that much. But
like this I said, is perfect for that 2 terabyte drive you reviewed, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe this will come with a larger drive, but they're cool. That's just going to be a continuing growing segment, I think.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is once the companies kind of finalize their actual exterior and internal designs, you can pump these out, right? Like, you know, you can upgrade them and all that kind of stuff. So, pretty.
Well, I think being able to dock them too will be nice, right? Like throwing this again, like a PC version of the Switch. Take it with you, play your games, and then when you get home, throw this onto either your gaming monitor or your larger screen in the living room.
And I have seen some setups where people do that.
Yeah.
You know, they have their whole gaming setup at home, and this is what they, you know, this is their whole PC, which is pretty cool that you could, you know, take your whole PC with you for the most part. That's pretty awesome. So, pretty cool to see that there as well. And then finally, we talked about this last week. This brand, this TRYX, Trix brand, we talked about their AIO last week. They made it official this week. And they also introduced fans in a case as well. So this is the AIO. This is the curved screen on the AIO. It's an AMOLED screen. Pretty cool. And this one's pretty cool too. So you could actually have like two different things being displayed here on this, which is pretty cool. And then we can get kind of a look at the case. Big aquarium style case. Looks pretty cool though. And these are the fans that they have.
I see some resemblance to some other case design and fan design, but
yeah. But this is pretty interesting from a brand who, you know, this is out of, I think, China? Shanghai.
The AIO is very, very cool.
Yeah, so we'll see. The thing that I get excited about these brands, but then you're like, okay, will we see this stuff in the U.S.?
Right. If it doesn't even make it over here. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the biggest thing. But this does seem like a pretty cool brand that's doing some cool stuff, especially with the AIO that has that screen on it. It looks awesome. But yeah, we'll see if this stuff eventually gets sold in the U.S. If it does, we'll try to get.
Well, I wonder how pronounced that curve is. You know what I mean? Like, is it just a wrap around? You know, I think it's not quite it's not a hard 90 degree.
No.
But I'm just thinking of like the things you could do with it, right? Animation wise.
Yeah. Have to see. And I'm sure there's software. I would assume they have software that allows you to kind of design how everything looks on the AIO.
Right.
But overall, like I said, I think it looks great. So like I said, hopefully, we see this stuff in the U.S., so maybe we can get our hands on it and do a review. That'd be pretty cool. So talking about what we have coming up next week, I have a very fast Gen 5 NVMe SSD. This is the Crucial T705, and they did send us a limited edition version that has the white heat spreader on it. Super fast, like I said, Gen 5 drive. Really excited to go ahead and take a look at that as well. And also be taking a look at a motherboard. So the ASUS ROG Strix Z790E Gaming Wi-Fi 2. I'll be taking a look at this motherboard as well. So excited to do another motherboard review, and especially one from ASUS. So so definitely stay tuned next week for all of that stuff. And then that brings us to our question of the week. And it is, who is your internet provider and what type of speeds are you getting? I'll let you go, Ryan.
All right. So I use Cox and I have 300 down and 30 up. So I'm in a grandfathered plan. That plan isn't offered any longer. I'm holding out. I haven't gone to, like, I could get gig, but it's still like gig down and like slow up. So I didn't want that. There's another fiber company that's kind of regional that is supposedly expanding into my neighborhood and area pretty soon here. It's probably going to be multiple months away. And they offer up to 2.5 up and down.
Nice.
Symmetrical. So, which is really nice. AT&T fiber is not available in my neighborhood either. So I can't like just switch to that. So, for the price point that I'm at, it's just made sense to stick with this 330.
I was on one of those before I moved to California. I was on Comcast, and I was on like a 3015 plan.
That's what you were on, really? 30 down?
Yeah, something like that. It was wasn't great. It was Yeah, it was slow.
Wow.
Obviously, now that I moved, I'm on AT&T fiber, so I have gig up, gig down.
Right.
But you have to realize, people don't realize that you need the hardware too.
Oh yeah, yeah. You gotta have a router that.
Yeah, because like my friends, like it. A lot of my friends would be like, "Oh yeah, like I got fiber, but I'm getting like 200 up and down." I'm like, "Do you have the right hardware?" And you know, yeah, you need to have a router that will support that Wi-Fi 6E router as well, so you can get those speeds. But yeah, I've been really happy with AT&T. Not a whole lot of issues. Yeah, it was one of the most exciting things when I moved here was to get faster internet. So yeah. Also, as we come to the end here, we talk about anything tech related. Have you done anything tech related?
I don't think so. I was looking around the room. No. Again, I'm just excited to get some of these other reviews done.
Yeah.
Because I got like this height cooler to take a look at. And then another AIO is on its way, although it looked like it got delayed. Unfortunately, I had a shipping notification that it was delayed. So,
yeah. I'm excited for that that height AIO. We saw it at CES, and yeah, it's definitely thick. So we'll see. And that's some really cool. has some really cool functionality that not a lot of other AIOs have as well. So,
yeah,
excited to see that review whenever you get that done. So. So yeah, so that is it for the podcast. Sorry, I'm under the weather, guys. I feel like I barely made it through here, but hopefully by next week I'm better. If I'm not better, that's definitely a problem.
I'm sure.
But yeah, Ryan will be gaming. I'll be gaming maybe for a little bit with him as well. We do that over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan runs that stream, so you don't have to hear my sick raspy voice. But he will have that stream up momentarily. So if you want to keep on hanging out with us, you can do that over there. And we will see everybody next week.